Good.
Okay, I'd like to call the March 11th, 2013 Plan Commission meeting to order. David, could you please call the roll?
Yes. Chairman Christensen?
Here.
Commissioner Demarest?
Here.
Commissioner Dirksen?
Here.
Commissioner Rodman?
Here.
Commissioner Sherwood?
Here.
Commissioner Tuttle?
Here.
Okay, thanks, David. Okay, we have time for comments from citizens. You may comment on any matter that is not listed on tonight's agenda. And that includes the public hearing on the rezone. So if you have comments outside of the rezone, this would be the time to make those comments. Also on the sign code. So if anybody has comments they'd like to make now, it's not on tonight's agenda, please. Do we have a sign-in sheet? Okay, I don't see anybody on the sign-in sheet. Is there anybody that would like to make a comment? I don't see any hands. Okay, then we will move forward. Public hearing. The public hearing was delayed in December to March 11th. And I believe we held over public comment also at that time. So the comment portion of the public hearing is still open. So anybody that would like to make comments on that is open to do so. I do ask that you keep your comments specific to the rezone. I also would like to ask that you keep your comments to 5 minutes so that everybody gets their chance to speak.
Sure.
Yes.
Do you want to do the approval of the minutes first?
Okay, well, all right. Let's. I missed that because of the agenda is kind of messed up. Okay. All right, the approval of minutes, we'll do that first. Okay? Minutes from February 11th.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd like to thank staff for going back and checking the record on the questions of the murals and making the corrections in there.
Oh, thank you.
With that in mind, I'm certainly willing to make a motion to approve the minutes of February 11th as now written.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Demarest to approve the minutes, seconded by Commissioner Rodman. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Minutes from February
25th. I'll move the February 25th minutes be accepted.
I'll second.
Moved by Commissioner Rodman to approve minutes of February 25th. Seconded by Commissioner Demarest. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Okay. Now I can move on to comments. Public hearing. Commissioner Demarest?
Mr. Chairman, I'm just curious if there's anything in the way of staff that might be offered before we go to public testimony. Just in case there's new information from staff that might help people in their testimony that they mentioned things about offering.
Okay. Do you like to say something?
Yeah. If you have something to say.
I have something written down even.
Let's do that and we'll... Thank you.
Let's wait for the Bible. This is the continued public hearing for the city-initiated Roosevelt Road rezone. This non-project legislative action involves approximately 71 acres of property located between the Foothills subdivision and Roosevelt Road, north of US 2 and south of the proposed US 2 bypass. This area was annexed into the city of Monroe in 2008 with a zoning classification of UR9600, which was consistent with the comprehensive plan land use designation at that time of R2 to 5. In 2010, the comprehensive plan land use designation was changed to R5 to 7 by ordinance 009/2010. This was considered to be a reasonable measure for increasing residential density under RCW 36.708.215. This is the requirement for the city and the county to get together to go over their comprehensive plans occasionally to see how things are progressing, at which time we discovered that we had the housing shortage, and then we adopted reasonable measures along with the Snohomish County, and the reasonable measures are supposed to be taken rather than increasing the size of the urban growth area. And at that time, it was determined that one of the reasonable measures the city could take was to increase the comprehensive land use designation of that area, now referred to as Roosevelt Road. So that was done in 2010. The city of Monroe initiated a rezone of the area in 2011 to change the zoning designation or the zoning classification to UR 6000. This was done to be consistent with and implement the comprehensive plan. The city zoning classification is the only one which has a gross density in between 5 and 7 dwelling units per acre is the UR 6000 zoning classification. How would you like to proceed from that? That's sort of an overview of what we're doing and how we got to where we are now. And would you like to take public testimony first and then have rebuttal from staff, or would you like me to go through the comments I have to their comments now?
Commissioners, any suggestions?
I think if staff has comments, okay, that would supplement their staff report, it's beneficial to get out ahead of time.
I do believe you received a 4-page letter from the Foothills Homeowners Association today.
Yes.
Yeah. There are two issues. Their first, basically, decision criteria that they talked about on the first page is that the Planning Commission is supposed to make a finding that the proposal is consistent with the comprehensive plan and meets the requirements and intents of this code. They go on the second page saying that it's not consistent with the comprehensive plan because of Land Use Policy 1.1, which describes the R5 to 7 zoning land use classification, that states it's appropriate for land located convenient to principal arterials. They go on to then talk about how that some of the parcels do not have direct access to Roosevelt Road, so I'm assuming that's how they say that it's not convenient to a principal arterial. A couple things about that. One is that the rezone is consistent with the at least the land use designation of the comprehensive plan. As I mentioned earlier, this is the only zoning classification that is consistent with the land use designation of 5 to 7 units per acre. There is also no clear definition, for lack of a better term, of what consistent is, because with a comprehensive plan that has 36 pages of policies and goals, there are a lot of internal inconsistencies. So, you know, the Planning Commission and after that the City Council has to make a determination on which of the policies and goals are most important to them and which ones they want to be consistent with, because there are going to be some inconsistencies within the plan. Also, also, if you read the description of our R5 to 7 contained in the Land Use Policy 1.1. Generally, this designation is appropriate for land located convenient to principal arterials and or business and commercial activity centers, for example, downtown, comma, where a transition between higher densities and lower densities is warranted, or where natural limitations in the transportation system or other public facilities preclude higher densities. So it's also incumbent upon the Planning Commission to determine how that works. Does it have to be both of them? Can it be either one? Because since there is no community transit, bus transit into that area, it does preclude the higher density classification of doing a higher density up there. So that would be an appropriate density to have up there without public transportation facilities. Also beneficial for the public health. The letter goes on to talk about how they feel it is not beneficial for them and their subdivision in particular. However, the standard for beneficial to the public health and in the public interest is for the city as a whole, not for any specific individuals or groups of individuals. So in order to comply with the, be consistent and implement the comprehensive land use plan, that's a beneficial element of this, which would be accomplished by rezoning this. It's also beneficial to meet the population forecasts for the city of Monroe's urban growth area by increasing the density within the urban growth area rather than expanding the urban growth area. So it is beneficial to the public health and safety and also in the public interest to increase the density within the urban growth area rather than to expand the urban growth area to meet our population forecasts. Bottom of page 2, they start talking about the requirement of the 2009 edition of the International Fire Code, Appendix D, Section 107, which states that you're not supposed to, or paraphrased, you're not supposed to have subdivisions of greater than 30 dwelling units for single family and duplex dwellings, unless there's a couple of exceptions. One is they can have two separate entrances and exits from the subdivision. They can sprinkle the buildings in the subdivision, or if it's an extension of a place that already has more than 30, they can make a provision for future road extensions that would eventually lead to a second entrance or exit. The Foothills subdivision was actually, the first division was recorded in December of 1996, and the second and third divisions were recorded in 1997. Both of those subdivisions were under a different code that did not have that requirement at that time. So when the Foothills went in, it was not in violation of the International Fire Code. So as they say, it is not, they say the exceptions should not be the rule and exceptions should not be built upon exceptions. There was no exception taken when that subdivision of the Foothills was installed. And the unique circumstance that is existent to that part is that piece of property they're referring to is actually right now is a landlocked parcel because it has no access. There's only one part of access to that piece of property. Okay, and then their last point about conditioning the rezone on a development agreement. A development agreement per RCW 3670B170, which allows cities and developers to enter into development agreements. First thing to remember is that this is a city-initiated rezone. There is no developer. There is no one to make a development agreement with. The city does not own any property up there, so we cannot impose a development agreement on someone else. The development agreements are mutual agreements between two parties. There's only one party involved right now. Secondly, is if you look at RCW 36B170 at the bottom of that section, there's a finding of intent for that section, and that finding is that the reason for entering into a development agreement is to give a developer surety of what requirements are going to be made of that developer, so that after someone starts the process of, for example, the subdivision, the city cannot change the zoning code or development requirements and then change what that developer could do, so they will have wasted money
in developing a program or a subdivision that suddenly is no longer allowed in the city. And also, if you scroll down a little bit farther, in RCW 3670B210, also talks about development agreements and how the development agreements are not to be used to increase the requirements of a developer. They actually are, the purpose of them is to secure rights for a developer, not to impose additional conditions that cannot be imposed somewhere else by law. And I think that's everything I have.
Brad, what am I scrolling down to see that?
Well, I'm scrolling down.
Oh, you're scrolling
down. I'm scrolling down. That's the RCW. So the second RCW I referred to is RCW 36.70B210.
And we don't have access to those, do we?
Maybe. You're supposed to, so I don't know. I tried on my computer and it didn't work. That's why I had to bring up the other one. So.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's all?
That's all for me right now.
Okay. Do I move to public comments? Okay. Anybody would like to come up and speak? Please give your name and address for the ladies.
Yes, my name is Jeffrey Thomas, 16857 Copper Mountain Road, Southeast Monroe, Washington. Thank you very much for continuing the hearing to tonight. Brad.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. I don't disagree with much of what Brad said. Thank you for pointing out the citations relative to the development agreements. Ultimately, we should start with the clock. Sorry. I liked the clock last time.
Okay.
We'll honor you.
As I said before, ultimately, it's a decision for you all to make. One of the things, when I used to teach people about what it means to be a planning commissioner, one of the things that I used to have to bump heads with attorneys and with planning staff about is that you're there to make value judgments. As Brad properly pointed out, in the comprehensive plan, you're going to find things that disagree with one another, policies that are inconsistent. The point that I think is important from the board's perspective, as they've shared with me, is that they are concerned about public safety. Brad did properly mention that public interest is community-wide. It's also local, in the board's opinion, and in my opinion as a planner, that when you allow for something to occur, you should have the forethought to try to make certain that you're not worsening the situation. And one of the things that I found of interest with the way that the code was written here is it actually says that you need to make a finding that something is beneficial to public safety. It's not just not detrimental. I've worked under other codes where a variance or something like that could not be, quote, not, it had to be not detrimental, which means you couldn't worsen the situation. I recognize that the foothills would have been built under different fire code standards, different regulations. Today, it would appear that those regulations would say that you should have a second point of ingress and egress. And, you know, very much like a lot of regulations, like findings in science and whatnot, as you learn new things, as new policies are developed, as new regulations are passed, it doesn't mean that you ignore a condition that exists today when the new science, the new information, the new policies say that this is not ideal. Just because it was built that way a couple years ago, today that would be an exception. The letter says exceptions should not be built on exceptions. So under today's regulations, yes, it would be an exception to build the foothills the way that it is. I think the foothills has a legitimate, let's pull this away from just code and pull it away from land use policies. I think the foothills board does have legitimate concerns about 210 homes, over 500 residents living with one means of ingress and egress, with increasing development in terms of density relative to what currently is allowed today. with property that that's sole point of ingress and egress may be through the foothills. With all that said, I really want to point out that that letter there before you is not NIMBY, as we say in the planning profession. It's not in my backyard. That letter is written with a way out. That letter could have been written from a perspective of, no, you should not approve this rezone where those properties don't have access, convenient access, as Brad properly pointed out. Is that direct access? Is that adjoining? For those properties that don't have that direct access to Roosevelt, the board could make the argument that they should just be pulled from the rezone. The board is suggesting that, no, let's improve the condition that is there today. Let's provide for public safety. Let's provide for what the foothills would have as a second point of ingress and egress. It seems to be a common sense request. Again, I've sat through a lot of hearings in my day, seen a lot of people come in and just say, excuse my French, just say, hell no, this board has not done that. When they asked me to come and help them write letters for them and just help them through this process, my first question to them was to find out if they were NIMBY, find out if they did not want anything there. And that was not their response. They just wanted to make certain that their community of 210 homes, that the safety would be considered. So with that said, Brad has given a response. I do appreciate that. I would simply ask that the Planning Commission, rather than pull the properties out of the rezone, ask staff if there is a way to ensure that access, as we perceive is required by the International Fire Code, as we perceive is required by our own city codes, to ensure that it happens, to give that level of certainty that Brad properly pointed out a development is intended to provide. It provides the developer with some degree of certainty as to what the requirements will be for redevelopment of that property. It also provides the community with some certainty. The community doesn't want to have to challenge plat applications down the line until they see that there's that access that they're looking for. If you do this as part of the rezone, I don't perceive that the board will be challenging things like this in the future. That's all that I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have any more comments? Yes, sir. Come up and please give your name and address for the record.
Yes, good evening. My name is Tony Ford. I live at 16822 White Mountain Road, southeast here in Monroe. Do I need anything else?
No. You're fine.
I spent almost 25 years in government in the service of the Coast Guard, which is in part a regulatory agency. And what I'm hearing tonight, and I've heard all along in this controversy that we have, is finding ways that we can't meet our needs and our requirements. And examining the code that Mr. Fieldberg did tonight to find out why we shouldn't do something like this. And it seems to me that we need to be thinking the other way around. We need to be thinking about how this group can meet our needs. And I hope that you have the courage to take action tonight to meet the needs of our community, because they are real needs and are very, very important to us. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And by the way, the Zags are winning the ball game tonight.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else? I don't see any hands. Okay. I guess then we need to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing.
So open.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Sherwood.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Demarest. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, discussion with commissioners. On this rezone. Commissioner Sherwood.
Yes, I'm looking at the map of the proposed rezoning area.
Those things are hotter than this one.
And it appears that all but one property have access directly to Roosevelt, and that really, in the end, access is a project level decision. And my understanding in, from our previous discussions on this is that the concept of bringing additional density here is consistent with the comprehensive plan. It's consistent with the needs of the city, and the design issues which will follow appear to be surmountable. So I have to say that I favor this action, and hope you all understand that there are protections built into the process from here on by which your concerns will be more than adequately addressed.
Commissioner Demarest?
Thank you. I don't feel that I could in any way offer the same assurance that my fellow Commissioner Sherwood has just offered, but that's okay. We're entitled to disagree. Brad, a couple things. You talked about the beneficial aspects of the action, mm-hmm. and how they're evaluated, and you talked about it being on a community-wide basis. And yet, we heard from Mr. Thomas about how, yes, that is so, but there should also be an evaluation and consideration given to those beneficial aspects on a much narrower basis as in the community that it more directly or might more directly affect. And it's hard for me to understand why we wouldn't do that. Can you offer any more insight on that?
Didn't say we wouldn't, but the letter was saying that there's only negative impacts for the immediately adjacent residents, not taking into account that beneficial impacts are also for the entire city. For one item for the immediate vicinity is the sooner development takes place in that vicinity, the sooner there's going to be the second access out of the foothills, which would then therefore increase the safety of the residents of the foothills.
Okay.
So there would be a beneficial aspect for them.
Okay. And I see the logic to that. Mm-hmm. But that logic has let the residents of this city down in the past. And I'm going to refer to Trombley Hill, Sinclair Heights perhaps, and how when those areas were developed, it was done with the anticipation that in a relatively near term, there would be a second access to that Trombley Hill area. And I think we all know that that hasn't happened and doesn't appear that there's going to be any change to that status in the near term. So how can we offer the assurance that it would be any different here? Thoughts on that?
Since those assurances were done, the only development that has started up there, referring to the Trombley Hill area, is providing a second access, although it is only for the very easterly edge, and that's the last plat that's been in there. So actually the development that's going in is providing the second access.
I'm sorry, I don't see where the second access is.
Eaglemont is providing the second access off of Chain Lake Road to the north.
Okay.
And since it's a linear project that goes north-south, that's the only place that can provide access.
Right.
Nothing else has developed since then. And most of this controversy regarding the rezone is actually based on a proposed development. So we know that there is something already started, and with the possibility of extending to Roosevelt Road.
Okay.
So it's got, it's fairly, I don't want to say certain, but there's a good chance that there will be access soon to Roosevelt Road.
Okay, but no assurances.
No assurances at this time, no.
Okay. And I thought your point about how the fact that this is a city-initiated action mm-hmm. was interesting, and that there is no developer to be a party to a developer agreement.
Correct.
And you said something to the effect that the city can't impose restrictions upon property owners within this rezone.
We can't. We can't enter into a development agreement with anybody because there's no one to enter into with at this time.
Okay, and that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That said, isn't it fair to say that a city, whether it's Monroe or Duval or some other place, imposes restrictions on properties within its jurisdiction all the time through different land use actions?
Right, through different land use actions.
And so if the city is the party that's initiating the action here, why can't the city in turn impose a restriction?
It depends on how it's done.
So there are some ways that it could happen, perhaps.
Right. We cannot, a development agreement cannot do it, because that would impose conditions that are not otherwise required. And as per I mentioned, that's RCW 3670B210, I do believe. That does not allow development agreements to the local governments cannot impose impact fees, inspection fees, or dedications, or require any other financial contributions or mitigation measures except as expressly authorized by other applicable provisions of state law.
And would not the fire code be an applicable provision here?
Right. The fire code does not require a second access. Per the exception number 2.
Hmm. Okay, last question, I'll yield for at least a moment. Do you see any resolution to this from staff's perspective?
Staff's perspective is to let the process go through, rezone the property, have a development come in, and then the city council or the hearing examiner can make, the hearing examiner can recommend, the hearing examiner, the council can make either conditions upon any future development, or the future development itself may already be submitted with the resolution of the second access.
Okay, but the hearing examiner's hands are even more tied at that stage, are they not, than ours or the council's with regard to the rezone?
Right, the rezone's already done. But conditions of, because then you have a project and you can put mitigation measures on the project.
To the extent supported by local law.
To the extent that it does not, it's not prohibited. Because the prohibition of adding other stuff is only related to development agreements. That's a specific for development agreement, says you can't add things to requirements that aren't otherwise allowed. It doesn't say that the conditions of a subdivision can't be added.
So in that sense then, I don't want to sound like I'm belaboring this, but I'm just trying to get my head around it. In that sense, if we're not talking about a development agreement, we're not constrained by those same restrictions.
Maybe.
Right.
That's an open-ended question. So, but that one, that's the site that I did only applies to development agreements.
All right. Thank you.
Commissioner Sherwood.
Based on the current fire code versus the one under which the Foothills received their permits, would every residence in there be considered legal non-conforming?
Legal non-conforming really doesn't apply to the fire code. It's usually more a land use requirement, but the fire code is not retroactive.
Well, the point I'm getting to is, I assume at a project level, you cannot increase the degree of non-conformance. And I wonder if that is a protection for the homeowners in the foothills, that any action taken at the project level, whether through the hearing examiner, the council, whatever, would not increase their non-conformance. But if they're not technically non-conforming than those.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Um, not entirely sure what it is, but when you were talking about consistency with your comprehensive plan, you were talking about, I believe you were talking about the land use action 1.1, mm-hmm. and you said something about we can do this and this, or this or this.
Correct. It's.
And I'm not remembering exactly what the two things were.
Okay. Generally, this designation is appropriate for land located convenient to principal arterials, which is the point that was in the letter.
Okay.
And or businesses and commercial activity centers, for example, downtown. Mm-hmm. Then it goes on to say, where transition between higher densities and lower densities is warranted, or where natural limitations in the transportation system or other public facilities preclude higher densities.
Okay.
So can you say that it's consistent because this is where natural limitations to the transportation system or other public facilities preclude a higher density? Or does it have to be both?
Yeah. I don't like when anybody uses the and / or, because there's two different things. You have and, which means you have this and this,
yeah.
Or you have an or this. Mm-hmm. You can't have an and or. So that bothers me. But when you use an or, that means you have a choice between one mm-hmm. or the other, not having to worry about both. So I just want to make sure that I had that clear. Okay, and then the other question I have is on ingress and regress. As far as just the rezone is concerned, that should not have any play as far as rezone. Am I correct in assuming that or not?
Well, it depends on who's answering that question.
Yeah.
The contention of the Foothills Homeowner Association is yes, it should.
Yeah.
Contention of staff in the city
I'm trying to do what exactly I asked the people here tonight to do, is to stay on topic, the rezone. And I try not to go off of that. I'm trying to keep my mind strictly on the rezone. Mm-hmm. And so I'm assuming that if there was any, and it sounds to me like there's plan development after the rezone, but I'm assuming that all those things would be taken care of, mm-hmm. As far as any mitigation that have to be done. And the other thing I'd like to be assured of is the city's not putting any community, any group in at risk by not ensuring that safety is taken care of, those types of things. I just want to make sure that the city's not going to overlook any of
right.
that, you know,
right.
any future development. So that's the only comment I really have. Anybody else? Commissioner Demers?
Thank you. So as far as process goes, we are obviously in discussion stages. I understand it. It's staff's intent, based on where it seems that we're at tonight, to come back to us on the 25th with findings and conclusions for us to take final action on.
Correct. One comment on that is that, assuming that the Planning Commission gives some direction on what the findings and conclusions should be.
Okay, good. Thank you for that clarification.
Or we'll make up our own.
I appreciate that. I'm hearing you say and tell us why we should do it the way it's been suggested to be done. That's in rezone the property. Let development issues get taken care of with the development process. What I'm not hearing so far is clear enough for me comment as to why we can't impose it, why the city can't impose a restriction upon its own process, whereby development is required to occur in such a way that the intent of the comprehensive plan with regard to development at this level of density occur on properties adjacent to arterials, et cetera, be satisfied, so that we don't in effect have what's going to amount to, perhaps, could amount to, given the configuration, and I think there's actually three parcels of land in here that could be involved that don't have frontage on Roosevelt Road, could contribute toward leapfrog development. In other words, here's the arterial, here's remaining rural-type properties, looks like 2 to 5 acre parcels, and then here's this development back here on some number of properties that perhaps only gets their access through the existing development foothills, avoiding that sort of development. So I would appreciate if staff could come back with the reasons as to why we can't suggest that council do that as a part of the rezone decision.
Could you clarify on what the council's doing?
Well, I would, okay, why we can't do right. that in our recommendation to the council.
I know, but what are you recommending?
That development occur in a manner that facilitates and provides access from the nearby collector rather than only from an adjoining neighborhood.
Okay.
Which to me would be access and development starting on the east, the west side of the rezoned property adjacent to Roosevelt Road, and then moving inward away from Roosevelt Road and into the local property in whatever form those applications might be taking for. Commissioners, am I making sense to you?
Yes. No. That's great. That sounds to me like a manipulation of the market, which is improper. That's not our job. I think that's flat on American to tell people you have to do something in a certain order, in a certain way. So I, if I understand correctly what you said, I disagree.
Mr. Chair, just a procedural question.
Yes.
We're having different commissioners asking for findings and conclusions at this phase. Do you want us just to generically respond to every request and you'll vote them up or down at the next meeting? Or do you want to take a vote on each request tonight to direct us to do something?
As far as I know, we only have the one request.
Well, that's why I asked right now, because okay. There may be more.
Okay. Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman. Jeff, I would hope that we would reach some level of consensus among the commission, at least a majority consensus, that would provide staff some directions where we as a commission want to see that go.
Hence the vote.
Yes.
That helps us.
Call a vote, call it
you bet.
Yeah. A poll.
Yeah.
Yes.
I call it.
Call it a vote.
Okay.
Can I have more clarification on this council commissioner Demarest's proposal? Because you initially said arterial, then you changed it to collector. And so, because the issue in the land use, I forget whether it's policy or goal, 1.15, which talks about the definition of residential 5 to 7 land use designation, refers to land located convenient to principal arterials. The only principal arterials in the city of Monroe are US-2, SR-522, and SR-203. So none of the property is adjacent to a principal arterial. The Roosevelt Road is classified as a minor arterial. So you have to, what is convenient to?
Fair question, Brad, and it seems to me that if we were to take a literal interpretation of that statement, we wouldn't see this level of development as proposed anywhere but in very close proximity to Highway 2.
But I know it's convenient. Convenient is you don't have to stop at 12 stop signs before you get there. Or is it 4, or is it 2, or is it, you know, 4 intersections, 1 intersection immediately adjacent?
So it's a matter of interpretation. And which then seems to me to allow for a matter of discretion or degree of discretion in how it's applied.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So maybe I misspoke when I said arterial collector. I'll take that back.
Yeah.
And I will just simply say Roosevelt Road.
Okay.
If that helps. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Commissioner Shirley.
It would appear on the global level that this rezone and the attendant development would make greater use of the road, Roosevelt Road, which really doesn't get very much traffic. And it would provide alternatives, especially for folks going westbound on Route 2. They get on my Arnie's office and get on Route 2 that way, and there are gaps because of the stoplight at Fridays Boulevard that are created so that you can make that merge, which is a little iffy because people are going by at 65 miles an hour. But then possibly going down Trombley to Backland to town or down Robin Hood, and I realize these are all crowded streets, but it seems to me that this would allow better global access in the long run for some residents in that area.
Commissioner Dameron?
I'm not sure when you say this would allow, what are you referring to?
Well, the rezone and the intended redevelopment.
Commissioner?
This land is already zoned. This whole piece of property is already zoned for a certain amount of homes. Is that correct?
Correct.
It is. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to decide is if we want to keep it at that or add, what is it, 100 and how many homes would it add to it in that property?
When the comprehensive land use designation was changed in 2010, the staff report then said it would increase the number of houses by 50.
By 50, okay. So a developer can come in right now and make an agreement with the city, and then all this that we're discussing is not really part of what we're doing. I mean, that will be decided. I mean, if we didn't do anything, the planning, a planner would have to come in, a developer would have to come in, and they have to go through the whole process, and there's still going to be all the questions about the access, the secondary access and all that. So I guess my question is, why are we even discussing all this stuff when, if we do nothing, it's going to happen anyway? In my eyes, what we're trying to decide is if we want to add 50 more houses to this piece of land or we don't. And I want to know if the city plan is part of adding this. Understand, I'm trying to clarify this in my head. Let me see if I can get this together. So if we don't do anything and everything just goes as is and everybody and a developer comes in, they're going to have to answer the questions as to whether they have a second access or not. What is the difference of adding 50 houses going to make? I guess that's what my question is. As far as the second access and all that stuff, that will have to be answered by somebody else anyway, because they can already come in and develop it right now without us doing anything. So what's the difference besides the being part of the city plan that we meet housing? I'm not quite sure I get my question. I've got it in my head. I'm just trying to get this.
I think we understand where you're going with this. Brad, do you have a comment to that?
I think I'll refer to the environmental checklist that was done for the rezone and the threshold determination of non-significance that came out of that. Basically, it said there is minimal impact from the rezone itself. There's no short-term impacts because, although I hate it when people say that, but it's changing the color of the map. So it doesn't lead to any development itself. There is development that's already allowed.
Right.
Someone could go in there right now today and do a subdivision with at UR9600. So there's incremental increases in impacts, but nothing that's significant.
So, in that said, I don't see personally why there would be a problem for adding 50 more homes. I do understand the people adjacent, their concerns, but we can't really make any decisions on that because it's already developed, it's already zoned for that kind of, for development of houses. So I don't see where adding 50 extra homes would really make a difference.
Commissioner Demarest.
Brad, in your staff report, you say that approaching it strictly on a density calculation basis, and granted this doesn't take into consideration natural restrictions in mm-hmm. the rezone area, there could be an increase of up to 60% of density.
Right. That's straight. That's dividing 9,600 by 6,000. Yeah. When the staff report was done for the comprehensive plan amendment, when they had more planners, they went through and actually took out the wetlands. And so, because the when you do a PR planned residential development, you're allowed, you basically, you take the bulk density, it's the size of the property, 80% of that, so you take 20% off of roads, multiply it by the lot size, and you come up with the number of lots. And then, depending on how much open space and things you give, you can give up to 30% increase in that number. However, when you have half of your property being a wetland, you can't stuff all of those houses onto the other half because there are minimum lot sizes too. So taking that into account, it came out that there was only 50 more houses that could be put in.
Okay. Commissioner Sherwood.
Our original discussion on this, as I was trying to conceive this, it appeared that the rezone would allow greater flexibility in the application of the PRD process, and thereby there may be some benefit from having more open space than you would if you did it at a lower density. Is that fair to say, or is that misinformed on my part?
It's probably a possibility, but not a certainty.
Thank you.
Yeah. Brad, is the current zoning an implementing zone for the current comp plan designation?
No, it's not.
And does the code address that zone?
It's not consistent, and it does not implement the current comp plan land use designation.
Commissioner Rodley.
I have this has anything to do with the density, but I do have a problem with this area with higher density. There is no fire station near that. We start putting houses close together up there with the train tracks without a fire station in that area. We're looking for trouble. I have a little problem with that. I'm trying to think ahead here. Any comments on that?
Brad?
Yes. Once again, that's a project level discussion because in both development of an environmental review for the any future subdivisions, that's one of the questions, impact on fire services, and that can also be a mitigation measure imposed by that, and it's also how does that subdivision itself work into that. So that's an appropriate time to bring those issues up, is at the subdivision level.
Right.
Brad, on the 50 homes, that you said, did that take into account the wetlands? Did I hear you say
that was taken into account? Yeah, the 60% increase is assuming that they can get permission from everybody to basically pave over all the wetlands and buy credits down on the wetland mitigation bank. You could theoretically put that the 60% increase in houses. That's very expensive, probably not going to happen. So if you take into account the wetlands that stay there,
yeah,
then it's probably only about 50 more houses they get to go in.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Commissioner Sherwood?
Jeff, is the implication that if we do not rezone this, that our alternative would be to re-amend the comp plan? Because otherwise we'd be entering into a situation where the Growth Management Hearings Board come and say, why aren't you being consistent?
as we've discussed in the past, we are inconsistent right now with the comprehensive plan. And as we discovered today, there is no time threshold to do the rezone. However, when an applicant comes in to make application for a development and the zoning is inconsistent with the land use designation, they have the right to have that resolved. Now, it can be resolved multiple ways. This is one process. Second process would be to appeal the city's comprehensive plan to the Growth Management Materials Board. They could find the city inconsistent and tell the city council to fix the problem. And they could fix that two ways. They could either change the comp plan designation back to 2-5, resolve the issue, or they could force the upzone that we're here doing right now. So it's a myriad of conversations and process and procedures. There's two ways to push on every land use decision, the property owners versus the community's desires. So right now our code doesn't anticipate a development coming in at R9600. Hence, confusion. And how do we apply the code to a zone that's not authorized to be implemented?
Commissioner Rado?
Could they extend our growth area to also?
Could we extend our growth area?
Yeah.
That's a whole other bag of worms.
Yeah,
that's got it. The county council is the only legislative body that can approve UDA expansion.
Right. And when the comprehensive plan was amended, it was based on that being a reasonable measure to avoid expanding the urban growth area. And I might add on to something after Mr. Sachs. The city does not need to immediately change a land use, a zoning classification to meet a land use designation. As long as the current zoning allows the landowner some economically viable use of the property, and the city justifies its action by a well-documented legislative record and provides a policy rationale that is not arbitrary and capricious. And then if we don't change it, then someone is able to take us to the Growth Management Hearings Board, and then they can say, make it consistent.
Right.
So.
Commissioner Tell?
Thank you. Like I said last time, and I am in agreement with Diane, this has come down to me to a matter of the number of homes that's going to be allowed. And as it sits right now, I see the same problem and the same issue is going to come up. So I don't have a problem with the rezone, and I'll be voting to make a recommendation to be in favor of the rezone. However, the question remains, where does the issue of ingress and egress come up? And I keep hearing project level. I think that's what the people in the audience want to know. When exactly does that get addressed? Because it's clearly not now. According to the information that we've been given. So when is that something that's addressed? Who addresses it? How does the public give input on that? How is the concern for the Foothills neighborhood? How is that addressed specifically?
Through the environmental review process of the subdivision, and after that, the public hearing that will be held in front of the hearing examiner for the subdivision.
Okay, so if the recommendation is made to go forward with the rezone, and then later on you have an applicant for doing something up there, people are notified. They're the people in the foothills, the people with the concerns, they'll be notified. There will be other public hearings to come in and ask for their consideration.
There'll be a public hearing in front of the hearing examiner for the subdivision.
So I don't know if that is what everybody wants to hear. I live in the foothills too, so I understand the concern. But as far as it has to do with the rezone itself, I mean, it feels extraneous at this point. I think the number I was given before was a difference of 71 houses. That's what I heard at the last time I asked Paul those questions. So, as we stand right now, we're going to face the same issues of ingress and egress and traffic and construction, and that is a concern for sure. It can't be addressed right now based on what I'm hearing. So that's all.
Okay. Commissioner Demarest.
Thank you. Diane, I appreciate your question. And Bridget, you're supportive of that question. But I think there's a real life implication of greater density. I've heard 50, I've heard 71. Brad, are we still calculating impact based on 10 average daily trips per dwelling unit?
But I think it's 9.87.
I think that's pretty close to 10. So if we were to take 60 additional units, now that is the entire rezone area, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not just the one-third of it. So if we were to just apply that to, say, one-third of that rezone area, and I think that's pretty realistic, that's 60, 20, another 200 trips a day, average daily trips a day through an existing neighborhood to get out of the easterly portion of this rezone.
Assuming there's no secondary access.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
We're getting into the project level discussion again, rather than the rezone discussion. And
well, there is a sort of gray area in between, I think, because it is the easterly portion of the property that is most likely to be developed in a larger capacity sooner, whether there was a project on the table or not. You say that there's. Thank you for the clarification on the comp plan amendment process, the rezone process as it relates to being consistent with the comp plan. One, if the property owners still have economically viable options, clearly they do, they can develop it today at the current zoning. And two, if there's a legislative record as to why the change is not being implemented, that provides rationale support for not making the change. And it seems that one could certainly argue that that has happened. There's a legislative argument that's been created here that's not, was it arbitrary and capricious that you quoted? It doesn't seem that what we've been talking about and what we've heard from the public is arbitrary and capricious. There have been concerns expressed with regard to access issues, etc., for the rezone area. I can see where it could go either way. Is there an opportunity here, perhaps, if the city decides to move forward with the rezone on their own initiated rezone, to make it better, even if it is only for 60 houses in the neighborhoods that surround them? Perhaps. And perhaps, in my mind, the city should take advantage of that. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd be interested in a poll of the commission to see if there's support for the idea that I put forth earlier with regard to avoiding development in the rezone area in a manner that could be construed as leapfrog with respect to access off of Roosevelt Road.
What about leapfrog with respect to utilities? Utilities are currently at the eastern portion of the annex of the rezone area, not the western portion.
Eastern or southern? Oh, eastern, yes.
Eastern.
I think it's a fair question. I don't have anywhere near the same concern with regard to utilities, recognizing that, yeah, there will be some impact on the neighborhood if there's utility work being done, but it certainly wouldn't be at the same level as full-time, permanent, sole access in and out of the finished development.
Right. That would be encouraging leapfrog development then, because you'd have a section of no development along a utility corridor and then development.
Then I guess we're not talking about the same thing, because to me, without the access, there's no need for the utilities, right?
Well, a random piece of property on the east side, on the west side, adjacent to Roosevelt Road, has to install utilities past undeveloped property in order to develop.
Yeah,
Excuse me, but am I right or am I wrong? All of these discussions would have to be brought up even if we did not change the zoning. Are we not just...
Not that one. Because he's discussing a condition to place on the rezone.
Oh, a condition to place on a rezone.
Yeah.
Can that be, even be done?
Or perhaps building a legislative record that's strong enough to deny the rezone at this point. It would have to be strong enough to stand the scrutiny of arbitrary and capricious when it goes on appeal.
I guess what I'm asking though is, can that even be done with a condition on a rezone? I've not ever heard of that.
That was not a question that was asked before. We'd have to check.
Yeah. Commissioner
Chairman, in my mind, that question is at the forefront of what I am suggesting. Mm-hmm. And if the answer is legally, we cannot do that. The city cannot do that on their own rezone application, then it's clearly the end of that discussion. And then it goes back to a decision to support the rezone or say, as Mr. Sachs said, recommend against the rezone for other than arbitrary and capricious reasons.
Less than arbitrary and capricious reasons.
Less than, other than?
Right.
The difference.
Oh, I didn't hear the other
thing. No, I said other.
Okay.
And as you say, hope that it would withstand scrutiny. So if there were to be an answer from staff that legally the city cannot impose such a restriction or condition on the rezone, then clearly in my mind we would have two choices. Recommend for or recommend against. I'm more inclined to want to go toward the I think that's a more reasonable position to go for. I'd like staff to come back and say, Dave, you just can't do it. Or, Dave, yeah, you're right, you can't.
And the condition is secondary access?
Right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just want to know what the condition that we're talking about is.
The condition would be that any development of the properties not adjoining Roosevelt Road would require access to and from Roosevelt Road as part of their development application at such time as they develop. Yeah.
Okay. Might I suggest a third way? Well, same way, but consensus vote poll, whatever you want to call it, amongst the commissioners of first preference is to have the condition of access, you know, start from the west and go east as a condition. Second is either approve or deny. And then that will give staff, rather than dragging this on forever, we can come back with, we'll ask the attorney tomorrow and say, is that legal? If that's legal and you can decide that's the way you want to go, we'll write that up. If he says you can't do that, we'll write up whatever your second choice is. So we don't have to come back again and back again.
Well, my understanding is we have to come back on March 25th and make the recommendation.
Right. So we need to have findings and conclusions by then. Yeah. So we don't know which findings and conclusions we're writing.
Hence my request, Mr. Chair, for a vote of the Planning Commission on which direction we need to go to prepare the findings and conclusions. This rezone has been in place and active for going on my entire tenure here, close to 2 years. And the Planning Commission has refused to take a vote to this point.
Okay.
So we're looking for clarity to move forward. It's my opinion that the rezone can't be conditioned based on conversations. Mm-hmm. The way that you can stop the rezone is either flat deny it and build a legislative record that supports that action, or you can approve it. And that's the direction that we're looking for.
Commissioner Demarest.
And I agree completely. And I think that, Brad, with regard to your suggestion, if number one goes away, the only option we have is number two. I don't think, from my perspective, that we need to tell staff that that would be the second choice. I mean, am I missing
something? We don't know what the second choice is.
Well,
the second choice is yes or no.
We know that if staff would come back with a citation that says you can't condition the rezone. Clearly the commission has only really one choice beyond that, and I don't think you need any more direction to staff from us with respect to that. You can come back.
I've heard from three people that say yes and two people that said no.
You'd like us to make a de facto recommendation today on whether this rezone is up or down if the first option is off the table.
Correct.
That's the legislative process.
And I understand that, but to me, it's one thing to vote on a path, and it's another to vote on a final recommendation. And the place for the vote on the final recommendation is 2 weeks from today.
That's not the final recommendation, but you have to give staff direction on whether our findings are saying yes or our findings are saying no.
As to how you write them.
As to how we write them. As we mentioned earlier, you know, what's convenient and consistent. So.
Fair enough.
Okay, well, let's go down the line here. Commissioner Tuttle?
You have to clarify what I'm trying to
first question.
Give an opinion on.
Okay. Commissioner Demarest, would you please explain again what you're asking for?
That staff determine whether the rezone proposal can in fact be conditioned to require development to occur starting from the west with an access, ingress and egress off of Roosevelt Road. And that no development should occur in the rezone area without such access. Is that clear, Brad?
Yeah. Can I clarify your clarification?
Yeah, please.
Okay. I would like a poll, consensus vote, whatever you want to call amongst yourselves, of the question being, if it is possible to condition the rezone such that all development would have to start with access from Roosevelt Road, how many of you would be in favor of that?
I would not.
I would.
So it's yes, no, yes, yes, no, yes? Okay.
David, you please restate the total? I'm not sure I got it correct.
Okay, I think we have
four yeses and two no's.
Yes. Four yeses and two no's.
That's correct. Okay. Now, the second direction we'd like is if the attorney says that it is possible to condition the rezone on that condition that all access starts from the west, we'll bring that back to the Planning Commission on the 25th. If the attorney says that is not possible, would the consensus of the commission be for approval or for denial of the requested rezone?
Okay, we have one approval.
In that case, I'd have to approve.
I approve. Commissioner Demarest?
I'm going to deny.
Approve.
Approve.
Okay, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 approved and 1 denied. Commissioner Demarest?
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to make a comment that my reason for denying is based on exactly as our engineer, head chief engineer?
Yeah, public works director.
Public works director, Robert pointed out. One, the property owners within the rezone area have viable options today as it stands for development, for economic use of their property. And secondly, I do believe that the record does reflect a course of discussion and deliberation that is far from arbitrary and capricious in supporting a recommendation against the rezone. Thank you.
Okay. Where are we at?
Close the public hearing.
So you close the public hearing? All right. We have a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
We have Commissioner Rodlin moved to close the public hearing, seconded by Commissioner Sherwood. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, public hearing closed. Okay, next item on the agenda is a workshop for Monroe Municipal Code sign code amendment. Yes? I will allow a 5-minute break. I won't call it that.
All right.
You do. You do.